Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 6 characters. Brandon.
I'm Ekaru Poonslay, Half-Orc Bloodhunter, level 6, aka Dark Lord.
Caleb.
I'm Kaito Itata,
level 6 Barbarian.
I'm a Construct.
I'm here at a party.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tedman. I am a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger, level 1 Rogue, and I have a Magic Owl.
Multi-classer.
Fancy.
Brayden.
I'm Brayden. I am playing Beleg Dagar, level 6 Half-Elf Warlock.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards. While the party recovers following the Battle of the Pulba Plains, Steve searches for a place to perform a ritual in the deep forest. At first light, the party make another less than stellar impression on the wizard Mem and the sorceress Leah. Despite some hot tempers, cooler heads prevail, and the gang leave weapons, armor, and the mysteriously alluring half-moon mask for identification and appraisal. Upon their return to the new seat of power in the city of Polb, the party holds court, where the adventurers are forced to confront the varied effects and implications of their recent escapades. And Steve successfully resummons Stonus. And ancient warforged Kaitoa is outfitted with a hermetically sealed coffin backpack which contains the body of his slain battle badger. So now, having put strategies in place to ostensibly leave the city of Polb better than they found it, the party prepares to embark on a quest with still somewhat uncertain goals.
Are we ready to roll some dice?
Yes, I want to fight things.
Let's do it!
All present and accounted for. Well, you are going to fight things.
Let's go to Tlombur. Save Krizblik. Come back. See what the Raven's messages are from Iz, and then go Iz, and then crush a dungeon.
Should we try to get food coming into all here? I think
we're waiting for the response from the Ravens.
Yeah, we're waiting for the Ravens messages. So I think we should just go to Tlombur while we wait for that and see if we can revive Krizblik with some green magic.
Krizblik is in a giant refrigerated backpack right now, right?
Yeah.
And he can survive up to
I
a year.
I wasn't that drunk that that didn't happen.
No, it's okay. Kaitoa's, like, coolie riding backpack. Yeah.
Yeah, and Mam said that he suggests doing it within like a year's time, so we don't need to necessarily like leave at this very moment, because Plumber is like a month away.
Plumber is like really far away. And I think there's like a really, really shitty part of the mainland in between. Like, it's not fun. Steve's done it, but he's done it by himself. We're a larger party. The resources needed. I think Steve can handle it, but we're also a party that's a lot easier to see. If we're wanting to plumber, we're sea pickling it, like we're finding another boat.
Yeah. Going up north?
Yeah, taking the wild route. I mean, fuck it. What's the worst thing?
That'll be fun.
I mean, Steve will survive it.
We're, like, more than equipped to do that.
What do you want to do? Do you want to wait for the Raven's messages, or...?
We could also wait, and can we stock up on weapons?
Well,
why do we need more weapons?
I can use a re-up on weapons.
We've dropped off those three items at the Wizard and Spear. I mean, we could see if we can trade those in for some of the items off that list, the updated list we got.
I think we could take a day to maybe Haggle?
Steve likes to haggle. We learned that.
Clomber! Clomber! Clomber!
I'm sorry,
why are we bringing the badger back?
Because I love her. And we're a team. And
he died fighting with us. I don't know why we need to bring her back.
What would you like to do, Steve?
Because I'll live fighting for her. She died fighting for us, and I'll live fighting for her.
Is that how you came to be?
No, but I mean, we were a team. She saved my ass and this party. I think without her, this party wouldn't be what it is. So we need to fight to keep her a part of it.
So I feel like what Belleg wants to go to Plumber for his own reason, not to save the badger.
Pardon?
Just saying. What do you got going on in Plumber, bud?
Are we going to fight Ekerik?
That's it. Group's breaking up. We're done.
I am happy to help revive the badger, and Tlomber is also where I can find more information on my heritage. So I would like to go there.
I have reasons also, for going to Tlomber as well. But
out of Belleg character, the idea of going into a forest presents a lot of fun monster fighting opportunities. I really want to fight something that's not a kobold, gnoll, human.
Yeah. Well, and I do want to leave Paul. I mean, we've been here for a bit and time to kind of move on, but I just want to make sure that all of our things are in order before we do, so that way we can have a town to return to.
And we did all the work we need to do to make Paul sustainable last episode for us to leave.
Just no food coming in yet. And we did say Iz is probably a good place to check out for the Black Arrow, right?
So yeah, we've got the Raven's messages going over there right now, so we don't want to like fuck with it if we can actually make peace with Iz.
We don't want to investigate on the Black Arrow, like without.
Well, we want to see what the Ravens come back with, see what like the politicians of Iz have to say to us. We got time to kill when it comes to Iz.
What I'm saying, though, is I have my reasons for going to Plumber as well.
So let's go to Plumber.
My feeling about bringing this badger back is that I don't quite understand why we should.
Do you have a reason why we shouldn't?
The badger has played its part.
Steve, why wouldn't we bring her back?
Because her story's over.
Can we have this conversation on the road to Plumber?
Saying I'll go with you? I'm saying I'll help you.
Yeah.
Kaitoa and Steve, as you exchange this, and Belleg, as you motion and have been sort of beating your fist on the door of the white chain and saying, like, let's talk on the road. Dante is coming, running up.
Hey, you guys!
Lantern sends support, and the Seamstresses Guild wants to know if there's new heraldry being requested for the city. 200 or 300 new uniforms have been commissioned, and the nobles, it appears, they are paying for it. And yes, we have received quite a lot of support. Gold is due from Lantern, but we are already beginning to see support come in from sea to the docks.
Are we getting food?
Yes, we're getting food. Support from Lantern in the form of food and some other stuff they tacked on.
Well, you said seamstress, and to me that means uniforms. Nothing about that was food.
Oh, yes. Well, to incent the leadership there and the merchants in Lantern that run that big bazaar, it seems like you've also commissioned about 300 new tunics, you know, for your new men, along with the food. So, you know, upsell, good old Lantern.
We're doing good.
Okay. Then pull the money that's needed out of the city bank to pay for it.
Yeah. So, who's the new Nafri?
Me.
Belleg.
Oh, shit. Oh, what? All right. Well, you know, a couple of the nobles were maybe going to try and slide into that position, you know, given that you guys look like you're about to leave. Are you going to, like, appoint, like, a deputy administer? Now, Quartermaster Poonslay, we have the deputy quartermaster, legless dwarf, Lieutenant Dorophil. He's a hoot.
Deputy Nafri is Leah.
Oh, shit.
From Wizard Spear. She'll be great in the position. Pragmatic. Oh. Davalicious.
Under the breath, sir, have we discussed it with Julia?
No, but she'll be down.
All right. Yep.
Steve, can you make a persuasion roll as you interject with a clearing of the throat?
Oh, that was Kaito.
That's a solid fucking one.
Oh, wow. No, Kaito, you were heard. You were heard in RP. Steve was not heard by roll, but his clearing the throat was, I think, Belleg, certainly punctuating your suggestion of Leah.
Mickey. God. Something in my throat. Mickey, Gurm.
Gurm?
Oh, look. You guys obviously have friends in town you'd love to push into positions of power. We all know the game. Now, it's really just about answering the question where the gold comes from. The nobles have already been, you know, frightened into opening their purses and coffers quite successfully. Oh boy, you guys were an intimidating bunch yesterday. Well, level-handed. Anyways, guys, it's really just about where the money's coming from. Does Leah have tons and tons of funding? Does Mickey have tons and tons of funding? We need to make sure, like, Nafri didn't leave his books open.
Wait. Did Nafri personally fund a bunch of the city?
He controlled all the budgetary concerns, administrator, and he was in his little office that nobody dares go in, controlling all the purse strings.
But it's his money that he was spending.
No, the city's.
Okay.
He was the coin purse.
He had the support of the people whose purse he was opening, right?
Yeah.
So guys, roll it over like a candy in your mouths. Like a candy. Message number two. Message number two. You asked me to send a raven to Iz to bridge the political gap. Or something very, very erudite and wonderful. And guess what? We didn't get a message back.
Yet? Or you just think we won't get a message back?
Well, now let's see. It's been 3 days since we dispatched the ravens with the messages you requested. You know, you had the Battle of Pobl Plains. You came back. You spent 3 days healing people, putting on shows, bonding with the symbiotic badger backpack, and training the new soldiers. And now here we are. Food has arrived from Lantern, but no message back from Iz.
Iz has been taken.
All silent on the eastern front towards Iz. And you know the other strange things, guys? I thought I had tons of ravens. And now the aviary is empty.
So no raven returned.
No.
Well, maybe we should go to Iz then.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's been taken.
Let's go march on Iz.
Guys, Iz has been overthrown.
How you doing, Steve? Are you alright with Iz?
Maybe that we are to scout it.
I'd like to go to Slumber personally, but I'm okay with going to Iz.
How about this? I don't really want to split up the group. Never mind.
Nope. You of all people.
Okay. I think that the city is key. This is our revenue. This is our funding. As much as I love Crisblake, but the city is key. We need to keep the city going.
Well, it sounds like we've got food coming in. We've got all that shit coming in.
I've got stuff coming in from land and
Columbia.
Rob, how far away, or can I roll like a history or geography on how far away is Lantern to Pulp?
Not very far.
2 days by boat.
And Iz is 2 days by horse, right?
Day and a half, 2 days by horse.
Okay, so relatively the same time. So we should have food coming in from Lantern by then. But I thought we wanted to open up two lanes of trade so that way the city doesn't have to be so reliant on one. Plus the Black Arrow is in Iz that we could investigate.
All we know is could be a pile of gnolls, because that's as far as we've gotten.
Everybody, step fucking back. Where do you want to go and why?
Okay, each person. Let's do it. Let's step back
to so, a
council meeting.
Yeah. Where do you want to go and why?
I want to revive Krizblik.
So you want to go to Tlomber?
Yeah.
And revive Krizblik. Steve, where do you want to go? Why?
Do you know how to get to Tlomber? Have you ever been?
Yes.
You know how far away it is?
I've been to Tlomber.
Are
we riding?
Yeah.
Are we flying giant eagles?
We're gonna ride.
Okay.
If we go there.
I know what it is first. I'll go wherever you guys want to go. I'm pretty easy about it. I don't really feel very well about reviving this badger.
Alright, so you want to go to Iz?
Yeah. I have things I can do there too.
Ekrook.
I want to go to Iz because it will be another link for our city to get food and goods and not solely rely on land.
That's all I need to hear. You go to Iz. We're going to go to Iz.
Yeah. Are we riding horses?
Yeah.
Right now.
How are we getting longer from there?
Still from Iz?
What's in the middle, right?
Shit, guys. What sort of a decision-making apparatus is that? It seems like you guys sort of just shout until you guys reach a consensus. That's not bad, actually. Now look, finally, what will you do with the vacant positions in the city and the horror left in Nafri's chamber that none dare touch?
We can definitely bring Nafri to that room.
Is that our new thing now? Are we going to go to Nafri's office?
No, it sounds like a trap. Let's...
I think we're going to Iz now.
Yeah,
let's go to Iz.
We posted some soldiers around, or, you know, two soldiers on both doors in Nafri's office.
Yeah.
Going to Iz.
And then we go to Iz.
Stop at Dorophil and Mickey's place. And tell Dorophil that he's gonna be the quartermaster, and he'll tell Mickey that he's gonna be the Nafri, the administrator.
Dorophil knows he's the quartermaster of the stand-in.
Okay, well, I'll pop by and tell Mickey that he's gonna be Nafri for the. And I'm also gonna warn him not to go into the place.
No one goes in or out of Nafri's chambers.
Okay, so guards around Nafri's chamber.
Yes. A guard around his chambers, nothing in or out.
Yeah.
Anything else? If not, I'm heading back to Hugo Castle.
Can I roll some insight on Dante to make sure that he's gonna be cool while we're gone?
Yeah, sure. Roll insight on Dante the Messenger.
Well, he's doing that. Can I ask him, where can we get more ravens from?
I'm gonna use inspiration on that.
Okay, burn an inspiration.
Yeah. Wow, even worse. So that was an 8 plus 4, so a 12.
Okay, Velik, you would feel like Dante is, as always, a little highly strung and simply doing his best to perform his duties as a messenger. It's hard for you to, you know, perceive or have any insight. Beyond that, he seems legit. He seems he'll be okay. He's going to carry out your instructions, party.
Okay, cool.
Where do you get more ravens from?
Oh, yeah, whew. The aviary's empty. I don't know. We're just supposed to send them and receive them back. We have one guy who takes care of them, kind of the Raven Master, I guess you'd call him. He's like a one of those weird Kenku guys. You know, then there's just runners, right? You send a horse from city to city.
Who sends them?
Yeah?
Who sends the Raven?
Oh, well, you guys, you know, like the other day when Shorva came and requested a raven from Hugo Castle to send for more beer from Chintadu? Like, the only reason that she was allowed to send a raven was because it was at the order of this new quartermaster. And that was like, you know, we only have a half dozen here, so it's usually, no, you know, but nobles and the leaders of the city who use ravens.
But who physically lets go of the raven?
Oh, the Kenku Master Man.
Who the fuck is the Kenku Master Man?
Well, the aviary master, the Kenku fellow, kind of makes sense. He got this humanoid bird fellow and trains the birds. Messenger ravens.
Let's go to Iz.
Well, we're going to Iz for sure.
Yeah.
But give me a fucking name.
Kaitoa gets mad about things after his badger's gone.
You know, are there records whenever one of these birds are released?
Yeah.
Well, we release them and they come back. If the message is returned, I don't know more than that. I mean, I'm not the aviary master.
Sounds like a bird.
Oh, his name is fucking impossible to pronounce, man. It's like Q and like four R's and a K. It's just don't even bother.
Philippa.
Yeah, it's like.
Nice. Quark.
That's a brutalization that you're butchering that right there. Quark. I've tried. I mean, it's all right. I'm all right. I'm all right at Arakokra, the Kenku language. It's all very similar.
Robin, can I do a history check on that? That, like, quark.
Oh, yeah, sure.
12.
You would know this to be, yeah, one of these short bird-type names, which is very hard to translate into common. And Dante is just doing a fairly good effort.
Yeah.
It's either a bird or a lizard name.
Well, you guys are just asking about this. The more you pursue this thing, the more it grows.
Let's go to Iz.
Yeah.
Shall we go by... Well, we're going to go by... The Wizard and Spear, and then over to Gurm.
Will you ride or will you walk?
Ride.
Ride.
As you guys are now used to, the crowds and the passers-by part ways for this party on horseback. And as you go to the Wizard and Spear, you would think about the parchment that you spat invisible ink all over and how it revealed the three items that you had pocketed from the slain folks who were devoured by gnolls in the Battle of Polb Plaza.
I'm interested in the items that we found out they have. And what did they find out about the items we left with them?
They sent us...
Well, I saw the parchment that said what we're valued at, and...
Those maces are fucking rad.
Yeah, I definitely know what I want from them, but I definitely...
Bellic doesn't want anything, so yeah. You guys can take...
Yeah, I want to know what they're willing to trade at or be willing to let go with a debt owing.
As the party rides up to the still busted front doors of the Wizard and Spear, your friendly neighborhood purveyor of magical weapons and armor, you would notice that the front desk is actually manned by Mem, which is strange. I mean, sometimes when you guys have come in here, it hasn't been, you know, manned at all by Leah, let alone Mem. But here he is, sort of slumped over on the front counter.
Mem, where's Leah?
I don't know where. I'm looking into that mask was perilous.
Sit down.
And yeah, Mem seems to be in a sort of floppy disposition.
So you've been hitting the tea too hard?
Leah!
I shout, Leah.
There is no answer.
I walk through the back door.
Okay, Kaito, you walk through the back door, and you would note that it is mostly empty back here. There's no sign of Leah, and it is quiet.
Hitting the tea too hard? No. No. Did you read my note?
You mean the goods for sale?
It's the mask that got me a little woozy. But those three items are very interesting. But I'll take the sparkling chain shirt. I don't mind those sort of one property weak magical items. Those are suitable for the average fellow.
How do you feel about a trade?
Well, yeah, I might consider it. What were you interested in trading for? Some things off that majorly sweet magical item list?
I did.
Okay, well, excellent. Then what do you want?
How about you give us the advance for whatever we need to continue our adventure?
We also have a tab open by Nafri that you had negotiated with him where we were to get an item or two.
We already buried that tab, didn't we?
Yeah.
I don't think we did.
I think we have.
I didn't get anything off that.
Don't worry about it, Rook.
Yeah.
I just have two things on it.
But yes, I think, like, you give us what we need for being adventurers, and
that's where you got your plate, your breastplate.
Oh, that's right. I have to pay for it. Never mind.
What we're bringing you, I think it's clear that we're going to bring you valuable items, almost like a loan.
I just want to grab Kaitoa quickly and say, what item are you looking at? Because with the heavy flail plate armor and the shining chain, he's kind of said that he'd buy both of those, and that's 4,100 gold pieces. So
I would like the Vodog and also the Ring of Might. Going forward, I think what we're going to bring you back is worth it. You need to invest in us, because we're unlike no adventures you've ever come across.
Did you read the top of my message there? Qualified only. These are perilous weapons. Do you have 10,000 gold? I know you're favored here, but you understand that there's a reason these weapons are here. They're not to be toyed with.
Mem, they're sitting on a shelf gathering dust, and they could be out there gathering you money. We're going to put this weapon to work and bring you back money.
Where are you going?
It doesn't concern you.
Consider the plate armor and the sparkling chain shirt as a down payment. And I want to add to that I'd like the morning fire for our quest.
Zool. I'll take the short bow.
You talk like adventuring isn't something that is congruous with highwaymen and brigandry and charlatanism. People say, oh, I'm going on a quest, and oh, it's just a thinly veiled excuse for looting and murder and all sorts of desecration of ancient things.
I'll stop you there, ma'am. We've taken over the White Chain and have a place here in Hulk. We've also overthrown Nafri and gotten the city back, a trading partner in Latin and food coming in. We've shown that we have what we say we're going to do, we're going to do. And what Kaitoa is saying here, we will follow through.
Mem, you have our place in town, and also you have my badger's life at stake, and I'm fighting for that.
Mim, take the items that are valued at 4,100, put that towards our items that we'd like, and we'll tab the rest.
Well, yes, the quartermaster and your party, well, I suppose it's not a bad proposition. Then let's see what you have here. Well, 4,000 GP for this plate suit of armor. Well, this should be in the museum. 120 for the chain shirt. Okay, a little credit here. Well, if you all pick a weapon as you'd like to take off the shelves, then perhaps you'll go on this quest and settle up when you return.
Peleg wants the Ring of Might.
Oh, okay, well, Ring of Might, number one. Number two?
Rook wants Morning Fire.
Well, you've said that. That's a frightening weapon there. Morning Star it is. There's some orcish shit. Next?
Vodog.
Holy! That is some heavy hitting stuff. You guys are up beyond 16,000 GP. I should not have given you the majorly sweet weapon pamphlet. My God, I hesitate to ask. What is the next one? Blah, 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 blah.
I think Steve wanted the short bow. Your short bow, right, Steve?
Hey, if we're taking things, I'll take the short bow.
Blah, blah, okay, well, I've got the list and the total here. Let's go into the back.
And Mem shows you guys into the back room where, yes, indeed, there's these lockers that he seems to, you know, begin to open. Each of these four lockers with it looks like a small key. And he's opening them and bringing you these fantastic items.
Who took the Ring of Might?
Peleg.
Well, let's see here. The Ring of Might. Oh no! It's gone!
Mem, shut the fuck up.
And sure enough, Mem has opened a small box. Whatever was inside is missing.
But the Ring of Might is gone!
Who took it?
Afri.
Where the fuck's Leia?
Missing the Ring of Might. What a plot hook. Well, half-elf, I suppose I should let you pick something else from the list, considering... Blah, blah.
The only other thing I'd want would be the Degari.
Oh, well, this elven-type polearm long-reach weapon deals quite the shock. But, okay, well, here's four weapons on your list. Oh, I'm still recovering from this realization that this very powerful ring is missing.
We'll find that ring. Then we'll keep it, but we'll find it.
Mem, I am beginning to be skeptical about your account of your inventory.
Well, this is indeed a shocking thing. I wonder if it's not you stealthy, sly human ranger boy, who's multiclassing into roguery that might have stolen it from me. You know who strangers have been in my back room? You. You know who purchases weapons? Nobody. You're the only adventurers in here in years.
Who's got that key?
Tis a wizard's lock. Tis an enchantment. Only a wizard who knows the locking spell could unlock the locker.
Are you admitting that some boy could break into your lock?
Well, very possibly. Yes, I keep a watchful eye on all of the merchandise. Yeah, physical thievery has taken place. I can't explain it. Yes.
So as you guys discuss, you know, with the wizard Mem, his missing piece of inventory...
Well, let's get a little ledger going here for the transaction. Selling me the plate, the plate armor, the chainmail shirt, is that right?
The plate and the sparkling...
The value deducted from what we've taken.
I don't like filling these things out on my own. Okay, there's a piece of ledger paper for you, showing the balance due.
And he hands you this small receipt. And guys, you have now taken these weapons out of the back room. It would be now the mid-afternoon, and despite the fact that you are, on horseback here and unable to sort of leave the Wizard and Spear without being remarked by a lot of the people in the streets of Polb, you make it swiftly to wherever you want to go, having been, equipped with these quite fearsome items.
I think we're off to Lieutenant Dan's to go see Gurm and let him know what the deal is.
So the Diggory or the Digari or Dijarie or whatever the fuck the weapon, the pole arm I have, all it says is a pole arm. It doesn't specify what kind of pole arm it is. Can it be a glaive?
Yes, it is essentially the characteristic pole arm of the ancient elven phalanx, and it's very much a glaive.
Sweet. Adding it to the inventory. So we're going to quickly pop by Dorophil's and then Tiz? Yep.
Hell yeah.
Let's go, boys.
Okay, so you guys are taking off down towards Dorophil's safe shack, and you have arrived.
Squeak, squeak, squeak. Oh, hey, boys, you come to the safe shack. Hey, look, I like to polish my little quartermaster, deputy quartermaster pin here. Ho, 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 ho.
Well, you'll be standing in for me while we go on a trip to Iz.
Hey, what's that? Your construct friend seems to be degassing, leaking on my porch.
I'm leaking oil everywhere.
Sacrament, Stitterneck, take your leaky. You understand me? Don't pee in my apartment.
I just realized that Beleg speaks Dwarven.
Yeah, I just didn't know Dwarfil was from the colonies.
It's true. You hear my accent, Steve. It's true. The dwarves from Baheru, we swear, a little different from our cousins in Kamba, in the old dwarf home.
Yeah, no, Beleg wants to say what's up in Dwarven to Dorfil.
Oui, comment ça va, Beleg?
Comme si, comme ça?
Well, a little rusty, but nice. We can speak in this dwarven dialect. Steve and Beleg, we'll share a little joke. On va se faire rire.
I feel like it caught the tail end of that.
Does Steve speak Elvish?
See?
He does?
Hi?
Alright. Let's go to his. I want to fight something before the night's over.
Hey, well, right then, chomping at a bit. Hey, boys, it's me, Mickey. Very conveniently, I'm here as well. Hey, hello, here I am. Bop. Now, as Dorophil noted before, as he has his little shiny quartermaster deputy badge here, it is nice to have a little insignia. Have a look at these, why don't you, loves?
And Mickey appears to produce... from inside his waistcoat, it looks like a set of colored brooches or pins in the shape of small eyes, you know, like a pair of eyes or a set of eyes.
I'm always down for an extra eye.
Mickey, what the fuck is this?
Well, if you go afar, and if you are going to other cities around, you may want to show this insignia. Right, I got a little safe house. I write everywhere in an important little city. Maybe not a member of the Poison Scepter, love, but nonetheless, somebody who might benefit you to meet with as a contact. I hear these pins, a brooch, to show that you are initiated into the Poison Scepter. I tell you, if you're looking for that Wagapolo, he's going to be looking for one of these, he is.
Does this also track us?
Well, Kaitoa, would you like to roll an insight or investigation?
No, I think I know. I can't know, so it goes both ways, Mickey.
Righto then. Well, look here, I have four little pins. These are the positions vacated in the Poison Scepter. Let's look here. I've got a red pair, I've got here a green pair, and then I've got a grey pair, and finally, a yellow pair.
I like the yellow one.
All right, and Steve, you grabbed the yellow one, did you? All right.
Wonderful.
I'll take the grey.
Oh, a military man. All right.
Bellic takes the green.
An interesting choice. That leaves the red for you, Mr. Bloodhunter. Half-orc.
Yeah, I'll take the blood. Or the red.
Well, this is very interesting indeed. See, each one of these pins represents an aspect of the Poison Scepter, lads. It's like, he's a military man, that's grey. And maybe he's some sort of esoteric thing. And maybe that's a different colour. And we have a weapons master and all these sorts of things. It's very exciting, lad. Seven or eight pins. Now...
Alright, Mickey, your film taboosh, huh? These boys want to get going. Give them the pin. It's not a big deal. You have a pin. I have a pin. Whoop-dee-doo, huh? We all have pins.
What pin are you?
I'm the black pin.
What the fuck is a black pin?
If I tell you now, you want the black pin. Everybody wants the scary black pin. Oh, edgy. Oh, I'm an edge lord. No, it's not good. It's very dark.
Gonna look at Gurm and say
that fucking limb.
Free will. We're out of town too. Torfil's deputy quartermaster.
Well,
your coin purse, Nafri.
Bellic is like pacing. By the door, really wanting to leave.
Start making my way out the door because I'm going to want to get going to Iz.
All right, then. I'm sure I can stand on a crate. I'm a bit short for public speaking, but fair enough. I'm sure I can keep the mayor well soused. Thank you very much, boys. Oh, I take the job.
You're good to go, Mick.
Cheerio.
Oh, well, goodbye.
Okay, party, as you are leaving Dorophil's safe shack and, you know, being assured that wherever you go, you've left these two in some positions of authority. And as you go back through South Main Street, guys, back towards, I'm not quite sure where you're going, but you would notice that the, you know, the 1 o'clock toll bell has come and gone. And there's no execution, you know, occurring in the city today. It is not particularly tense in the city. And again, you know, people and crowds part way for you four.
Sounds like the perfect time to leave.
Yeah.
Well, Welcome, friends, adventurers, and listeners to The Break. DM Robulon here. We hope you are enjoying the season finale of our third season, which was recorded about a year ago on August 27th, 2019. Once we conclude this season, there will be a brief release hiatus until September 2nd when Season 4 begins. If you like our show and are looking for others to add to your listening roster, may we suggest fellow Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition Real Play podcast, Cheaper by the Dungeon. Oh, and there's the super catchy theme music. Yeah, love that tune. Well, it just so happens Cheaper by the Dungeon is also concluding a season, their second, with a three-part finale. You can find them on all the major podcast platforms and follow them at Cheaper Dungeon on Twitter. Now, without further delay, we return to Season 3, Episode 18 of Dungeons and Blackguards.
Sounds like the perfect time to leave.
Do we want people to know that we're leaving, or do we want to do this undercover?
No, I think we're going to
speak out. I think we just peace out.
Yeah.
Yes. Stealth out.
People should know that someone's watching all the time.
Okay, so the party makes to leave. Do you mean to exit the city surreptitiously?
Yeah. Yeah. We're leaving.
Yep.
Would you guys like to all roll a group stealth? And if anybody can give me some sort of flavor, you know, on how this happens, you can roll with advantage. But let's do a group stealth.
I got something that'll help even more. I'm going to cast Pass Without Trace on the entire party, horses included. We're going to stealth our way out. So if we have advantage, we also have plus 10 on all our stealth rolls.
Ooh, right.
Oh, wow.
Pass Without Trace. Can you describe then, as you and your party suit up, you four and your four steeds, what exactly does this entail?
Well, as you guys are suiting up, Steve has pulled out a small satchel, and he dips his two fingers in, and there is ash on the end of it. As he passes each of you, he spreads, in some cases needs to stretch up pretty high, but will spread ash somewhere on your body.
Picture like an awkward, like Little League baseball coach pep talk every time too.
I was thinking of like Dave Chappelle when he's like sprinkling some coke on himself.
I don't want to hide no secrets. But yeah, as the ashes spread on each of you, it almost feels like there's less light, even bouncing off. Like light almost passes through you.
Thank God.
Yeah, wow. Belly rolled a 27
on advantage.
I'm a 13. Thank you.
Wait, you're a 13 with the plus 10?
Yeah.
And
holy shit!
It was a 2. It was a 2 plus 1 plus 10, 13. It's Kaitoa. Come on!
All right. Well,
that's a 24 for Rook.
Okay, 24 Rook. Steve,
38.
38. As you guys stealth out of the city under Steve's magical obscuring effect, but also in conjunction with his coaching to remain extra stealthy. Kaitoa, you remember that boy who came up to you and who drew the little picture of you?
Yeah.
Like, just as you guys are leaving the city and exiting the large gates to the east, there's this one boy. you know, who's out way too late, you know, past his bedtime as you guys leave in the late evening here. And he almost catches a glimpse of what he thinks to be this construct man. But party, you have left the city of Polb. And now you are in this shadow that Steve has cast around you as you ride to wherever you want.
Is.
You ride east.
Southeast.
It is an uneventful ride towards the city of Iz. It's about a 1.5 day ride. You do not see any signs of movement along the road that follows along here beside the river Polba. You may notice the signs of great battle as you pass the area of the Polba Plains, about a third of the way towards Iz. But guys, you are now arriving within visual range of the walled city of Iz in approximately a day and a half. So say you'd be arriving in the early evening, 2 days after you left. Can everybody roll sort of like a scouting or a reconnaissance as you approach this round encircled city by the River Polba?
Yes.
It's a standard ballet perception check. It's a 7.
What do you mean by reconnaissance? Like
history or perception or insight maybe, but that would be a dirty one.
You mean our best roll?
How would you assess it is up to you.
Because my roll, I roll perception, and it's 7.
Classic.
Throughout our ride, if Steve is going to be doing anything, it's keeping an eye out on his favorite thing to track and fight, humanoids. So I want to just... I'm looking for any kind of... anything that humanoids will leave behind, camps, whether it be gnolls or humans or just people. What I'm looking for is people in general.
Okay.
Whether they're enemies or people trying to get away.
And what did you roll? What ability or skill are you sort of leveraging, Steve?
If I have my druthers about it, I'll take perception.
Okay.
It's 14.
Mm-hmm. Who else are we missing there? Rook?
I would be in kind of looking around and rolling investigation to see what clues and sights that I can see that would indicate any sort of vibe that we're getting from Iz towards Polb. 15.
Okay, you guys are a cautious bunch. So, Kaitoa, yeah, what angle are you going along? So, combined, you guys are already pretty high. Okay, what are you rolling, Kaitoa?
I'm going to have to go saving throw, just because this kid recognized me. That's going to be a 19.
This Kaitoa fan?
This kid knows me.
Dude, it's fan art. That's very powerful stuff, fan art.
Yeah. I had to save throw.
We'll say in that moment then that you definitely were able to extract yourself from this child's gaze. Folks, as you assess Iz from a fair range, but from a safe range, you know, you look back at Kaitoa and he seems still to sort of be a little preoccupied with you know, was he seen as he left? But guys, you would notice that the city of Iz, this town surrounded by rather fertile lands, and with a large wall really encircling most of it, it seems to be heavily garrisoned. And as you guys poke about, Rook and Beleg and Steve, as you guys probably take, what would you say, probably like an hour or two to sort of really check out the situation here, you would see that it looks like this city is garrisoned and manned at the walls by gnolls. Like, some of these gnolls appear to be in armor.
you know, and they are standing erect, and they're holding spears, and this is what you would see.
I'll have to fight them.
So, walls themselves, does it look like there's been a battle recently, or is this something that's gnolls have taken over a long time ago?
Hard to tell, Steve, but it's certainly there are no recent signs of battle. As the day wears on, you see carts going into the city. You see the gnolls, you know, uncrossing their spears, the guard gnolls at some of the gates, and they are letting in some of the, you know, the peasants and the commoners.
Do we want to end the city?
How do you guys want to enter?
Well, we either take them out and go and fight, or we try to find another way around.
I can load up another stealth spell.
I don't have another stealth spell.
I do.
I could rock a disguise self and distract people at the main gate if you guys wanted to try and like grappling hook up or sneak up while I'm talking to people. That's the only way that I could use any of my spells.
Another pass without trace in the chamber, so to speak.
We can stealth it.
Ain't like Kaito's like agility and strength can
I can get over this wall.
Going into some tactical talk there, party.
Could we roll a perception to see if we can notice the least concentration of guards on the walls? Like, find a place where we have the lowest chance
noticed. Yeah, sleepiest guard.
I would say that you could jointly use your passive perception, you know, to stake out the city of Iz here, you know, one more time before you guys commit to a strategy. So, yeah, the north along the River Polba, quite a lot of activity there, lots of torchlight, looks like lots of manned towers, or gnolled towers. And then you have the southeastern and southwestern gates. They seem to be much less monitored. There are guards letting in a lot now of field hands, peasants coming back from toiling in the fields as dusk is quickly approaching.
We could always pose as farmers if we get a cart.
Let's try to go for the southern road then.
If we really need to, Steve can do the concentration thing and see where our best numbers are.
That's a cantrip for you too, right?
I can do it at will.
Yeah.
It's just part of my class.
That's a good call.
For the record, Rob, I flipped my poncho to nature mode.
Your dual-sided ghillie poncho has a wonderful forest pattern side.
It is definitely forest out right now.
I think we should try and go up the wall.
Well, there's certainly a scalable wall. You have about a 20-foot wall with, you know, palisades along the top and these turrets spaced about every 120 feet or so.
I definitely think we wait till the evening anyway.
Do we have a cart?
You left Toby and Maddie in Polb. No cart. Just you and your four horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, the horses are going to be left down. It depends, though. There's more action going on during the day. They may be more distracted if we try and do it during the day. If we do it during dusk and there's still guards on the walls, then we're going to be the only noise that's being made.
Okay, so party, as you keep on discussing your plans and you are observing the comings and goings in and out of the city of Iz to elaborate on your plan further, you would notice still this large presence of gnolls along the walls and at the gates. There are none outside the gates, but it is clear now to you, you've been observing long enough, that the gnolls are in charge here. They are imposing whatever law and order is occurring here, letting in the peasants, opening the gates. Yeah, these humanoid hyena-like monsters that the party is all too familiar with are numerous and prevalent as they patrol the gates and the walls of the city.
I think we try and go up now.
Yeah.
What do you think, Steve?
Hey, I'm the easy one over. That's no problem.
What do you think, Poonchlay?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Spill some blood.
Let's go to the second gap and grapple hook our way up.
I'm definitely casting this spell. Because I want us over that. I want us over that wall.
Sounds Are good. You whipping out a second pass without trace, Steve?
Yeah.
I think I've got three healing gauntlet charges, so you can burn that spell without having to use cure wounds or anything.
It is not on the same level, so we're good.
Oh, nice. I'm stuck in my warlock mentality where all of my spells are the same level.
So Beleg, you know, seems to suggest an infiltration strategy of simply, you know, identify the midpoint between two towers or at least points where you can tell there is some observance and start ascending. Use them, grappling, hook them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pass without trace again.
So we get that plus 10 to stealth?
30 feet of me for the next hour.
Nice. Let's go up then.
Okay, so Steve, you consult the party and remind them again of the conditions of this incantation.
Stay within 30 feet.
Beleg stays shoulder to shoulder, Steve.
It's just a little tap. Like a little punch.
Yeah. Fucking fist.
Kaitoa, like, crab walks.
So, Kaitoa and Rook, Steve and Beleg, you're now launching these grappling hooks up onto the walls, being assured that as you, everybody please roll stealth, but I think you're going to have no problem here, you infiltrate the city at dusk.
Beleg's good to go.
You rolled a natural 20.
I rolled a natural 19. So I'm at 31 right now.
My stealth is 39. High as I can actually.
I love this spell.
You are shattering this DC, but okay, so do we get everybody chiming in there?
19.
Oh, Kaitoa! Even you seem to, well, that's with the modifier, you seem to be no problem, joining along with this infiltration, and Rook?
21.
Okay, you guys are decimating the DC to infiltrate still with some light of day, you know.
We're quiet.
A manned city. You are like a pocket of silence scaling over the walls of Iz. And guys, as you land on the other side of these large walls of Iz, and Iz seems to be, you know, a fairly ancient fortified town, you drop down into a tightly packed neighborhood, you know, with close, tight alleyways and mostly single-storied roofs. You hear the creaking of wagons and the shouting of voices, you know, because you have dropped in between two of these gateways, sort of to the south west, I guess you would say. In the shadows and the eaves of these buildings, the party now collects their grappling hooks. And what would you do next?
Flips his poncho.
We should probably go for the castle. like try and find some sort of central.
Can everybody roll a quick history?
15.
That's a 16. 17 okay. Minus 1 for Belly.
11 for Steve.
19.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so Kaitoa. Oh, hey, it's our file cabinet friend, Kaitoa. There is a piece of parchment showing the city of Iz, the outer walls, the entrances and exits, and also in the center circled the keep, the main fortification here inside the walls of Iz, and that name, Oldfoot, on this map. And somebody's probably yanking that out of Kaitoa.
Next to the completely rotting kippers.
Or placed Chris Black?
No, the kippers.
Oh.
I look at Belly.
I don't really appreciate that joke.
Belly fingers Kaitoa. No, I mean, it like it flips on the bird.
Kaitoa
isn't gonna save you next time.
Lovely.
Fuck you.
Fine. You guys, you know, sort of retract Kaitoa's little door compartment, and yes, here's a top-down map of Iz, this well-established fortified city where the roads, the main four roads, seem to lead right into the middle of the city, where you would also know now and be confirmed that the keep, the main fortification here of the city, is right smack dab in the middle of town.
Let's go.
How long does your pocket of silence last, Steve? Like, an hour?
1 hour.
So, essentially, yeah, as long as you guys maintain a sense of staying, you know, within range, Steve, 30 feet, and without doing anything provocative within that space, you have a miraculous plus 10 to all stealth checks.
Oh, wait. Remember when Crisplick fucked the whole party over by selling them out as slaves? Oh wait, that wasn't Crisplick. That was Belleg. Oh, that falls outside of the pocket of silence. Oh, my bad. Oh, right.
I'm sorry. That falls outside that circle of trust. Yeah. Right.
Let's get to this. Let's get to this keep.
Let's get to the keep.
Belleg, it's almost as if Kaitoa is shooting you sort of dagger eyes. You know, for some reason, Belleg, you know, Kaitoa, as you and Steve and Rook, all four of you maintain this very quiet composure and sneak along through the back roads of the city of Iz. You know, you start to feel a little bit of tension in the party, Belleg, especially as you look into Kaitoa's sort of empty metal eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's shooting me dagger eyes, and I'm close to shooting him daggers.
But hurt.
So, guys, I will have you all roll a group stealth as you approach this sort of centermost part of Iz, which does have a four-sided keep, about a three-leveled keep, with quite a well-lit, probably about a 200-foot space, you know, from the exits of the neighborhoods and the alleyways. Why don't you roll a group stealth all with plus 10 mod?
It's 20 for Belleg.
Yes, please. 21.
13 for Rick.
So that's a 7 plus 19, so 26.
Ooh, this spell.
I can only do it twice. That's the nice part about it. It's heavy.
And somehow, you know, this party of four is able to cross almost an impossible distance, you know, to the keep. And despite the torchlight and despite the obvious presence of guards and manned towers, you seem to be as if invisible as Steve sort of coaches you guys along and keeps you near. And these smudges of whatever he smudged on you guys, although it seems to be sort of hocus pocus, it seems to be working.
Steve
Pooh! Yes.
Steve the Pooman!
It's dry, though. It's good. The smell's gone.
And guys, what would you be doing now, you four, as you stay awfully fucking tight to Ranger Boy Steve?
We prepare our attack, I think.
Attacking?
Well, not necessarily our attack, but our infiltration. I mean, it's a good time to stop and, like, discuss what we're going to do.
Oh.
Also, Belleg and Kettoa might fight.
I'm going to buttercup Belleg. And just leave him with the wafting fart essence.
Just some steam right in his face.
Kettoa, you vent an awful smell.
Yeah.
As these two are doing their thing, Rook and Steve, you would notice two or three patrols from your vantage point here, pressed into the inside angle of this keep where it touches most closely the neighborhoods around it. You see these patrols with very even spacing and timing, and they're kind of making their way through the roads and around the courtyard, around the keep. On Ranger Boy Steve, he seems intent on sort of marking the timing and observing these patrols. Steve at the moment seems completely preoccupied, and Rook as well. You've noticed these patrols.
Boy. Oh shit. Can I roll intimidation on Kettoa?
Yes. As you guys are sort of, you know, watching the patrols go by and starting to assess, now that you've infiltrated right into the heart, roll intimidation.
I'd say 17.
Kettoa, what would you roll in response as a counter skill?
What would I?
Constitution?
Constitution, yeah. Con.
This is happening.
Nat 20 plus 2.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is versus 17. So, Belleg, you are rebuffed.
I'm sorry, dude.
Don't apologize. I'm ready to RP. Yeah. I'll give you my spiel, and you can overrule it.
Yeah, go for it.
Like, you can try and fight me if you want. You can fuck with me. But fuck. We got some shit to do right now. We have a castle to try and overrun. We have some information to try and find. Fuck right off with your bullshit intimidation. And let's work together, Kettoa. Fuck.
I straight up, like, grab your speech in my hand, swallow it, fart it out, and blow it in your face, and push it towards you. Yeah.
Kettoa, can you and Belleg make a stealth roll? And Kettoa, you will make the roll at disadvantage.
We still have our plus 10, though, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So I'm a 26.
Advantage?
On stealth.
Disadvantage.
But disadvantage.
Oh. 19 to disadvantage.
That's the total?
Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah.
And Rook.
Yes, sir.
Who are standing there, pressed against the side. A blast goes up in frustration due to the growing impatience and discussion between your party members, Beleg and Kaitoa. And although Beleg's trying to keep his voice down and maybe successfully doing so, just at the end of the last thing he exclaims, Kaitoa vents. And from the front of around the keep, you see a figure in blue armor.
Oyaku, Oyaku, Oyaku.
And they are wielding a tomahawk. And party, you feel immediately, those of you still watchful of your situation, you feel you have been seen and your cover has been blown despite Steve's best efforts.
Of course.
Yeah.
I used a second level ranger spell.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh, just wait.
There are no Kodamas for anyone now.
We beefed. I had no choice.
That is where we are going to leave you tonight on this episode of Dungeons and Blackguards.
What
happened when I left?
Yeah. Great question, Tomo.
We rolled some shit. We argumented a little bit.
Oh, man.
That Kaitoa farted and everybody noticed.
Yeah.
In the whole city.
Yeah.
Just like Grandpa, huh?
Yeah.
Let's get them big farts. I had to deal with children. Obviously,
they're the devil.
There's more children here that need to be dealt with.
I'm stuck in my warlock mentality where all of my spells are the same level.
Fucking warlocks. It's all about them.
Oh, it's hard. Alright, let's go.
It's a hard and laugh for a lock.
It's an Oscar winning song.
It's hard out there for a lock. Yeah.
We don't tell people where we're going. It's like good homebrewing. You never tell somebody the style you're making. You tell them the style you made after it's done.